Hey y'all, Timothy here. I greet you all in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And you are watching the Brother Timothy Clark podcast. I cannot believe that I just said you're watching the podcast. But yes, you are watching the latest episode of the Brother Timothy Clark podcast. We are trying video today because of what was newly put on the Anchor platform. The Anchor platform is now Spotify for podcasters, okay? And they made the comment that you could now do video and it would go live to Spotify in video. Well, not live, but it would go to Spotify in video. And I'm thinking that is a remarkable idea. Now, if only they would allow access to the video side where we could add our videos to YouTube without manually uploading a video file to Anchor and then uploading a video file to YouTube. But one step at a time, and we'll see how that goes. So in today's episode of the Brother Timothy Clark podcast, I wanted to talk about how blind people could be plane spotters. Now, this is a very interesting field. This is one thing that unfortunately not a lot of blind people are involved in. Maybe they are not even aware of plane spotting. Maybe they don't even know what plane spotting is. So let me go ahead and take a couple of moments and explain what plane spotting is. Plane spotting is the act of spotting and or identifying the aircraft that fly over your location. Rather you're spotting from your home, or rather you're spotting from an airport, or spotting from the side of the road as I sometimes do. Whatever the case may be, the act of spotting is when an aircraft flies over, you've spotted it, you hear it, and you are then able to find out what that aircraft is. And there are different levels of spotters. There are some that just want to know what's flying around them. Maybe they want to know the altitude and the type of aircraft. Okay. There are others who go out and video those aircraft or take photos of those aircraft. I kind of fall in that camp because what I do audio of those aircraft. I take audio snippets of those aircraft that are flying around. And when it comes to equipment, this varies as well. Some people use a radio to hear the communications of the aircraft. I personally do. Some people use an app to hear the communications of the aircraft, which I will sometimes do as well. Others, on the other hand, won't even listen to the communications of the aircraft at all. They don't care, and or they don't know that it is available. So spotting an aircraft is a highly visual tool. It is a highly visual thing, I should say. So how in the world does a blind person spot and identify aircraft when they can't see it? Well, it is a very good question. And the answer may be one that surprises you. If you are blind, you can generally hear the difference between a single engine and a multi-engine aircraft, right? Even somebody who can see can do that. So what's the difference then between a blind person and a sighted person who is spotting aircraft? Because maybe a sighted person can look up into the sky and see what the aircraft is. That's utter nonsense. They can't. Unless the aircraft is maybe 200 feet in the sky directly above them, they're not going to know what the aircraft is. They're not going to be able to see the tail number. So how do we as a blind person spot aircraft? Same way a sighted person does. Use apps. Well, wait a minute. You can use an app to spot aircraft? Absolutely. Absolutely. My favorite app is FlightAware. Now, many spotters will use something called FlightRadar 24. It's because of the visual graphics of FlightRadar 24. The fact that FlightRadar 24 is giving you a virtual reality view of the aircraft that are over your location. Again, it's the visual side of the hobby at that point, okay? you are literally getting the same thing on FlightAware that you're getting on Flight Radar 24. You can upgrade Flight Radar 24 and get more information. Same thing though with FlightAware. You can upgrade FlightAware and get literally the same information. So at the end of the day, the difference is the layout. The difference is the visual ways in which the aircraft are displayed on your screen. So for a blind person, you're probably going to want to use FlightAware, because I find it personally to be more user-friendly for a blind person than I do something like Flight Radar 24. So let me go ahead and grab my phone, and I'll go ahead and demonstrate these differences here. I'm not sure, you know, right now what aircraft we have flying over. I don't think we have any flying over at the moment. But we'll go ahead and open FlightAware and Flight Radar 24, and I'll show you the differences here.
Messages, calendar, note, calendar.
So FaceTime, I have
photos, camera, space,
an aviation folder. Antenna. Now, you don't have to have aviation, one of those set up. But, you know, if you want one, go for it. If you don't, you know, whatever. That's totally up to you. So FlightAware, I can go right here to nearby flights. I don't have to really tap on anything. It's just right there, nearby flights.
So
I can see that we have N109TW within our 6 to 15 mile radius. It's a C-25B. And this particular aircraft, its origin, Pittsburgh,
H-meter-Z.
And it is flying to HMZ, 304 miles per hour.
Its
current altitude, because I accidentally made my three-meter jump,
304 miles per hour,
is 5,700 feet. Now, if I want to tap on this aircraft, okay, and I want to get more information. Well, let's say we're not familiar with HMZ. Okay.
Pittsburgh, Bedford County.
So we can go there and see it's Bedford County.
More details.
Okay, we can go here to more details. And we see it's a Cessna Citation
CJ3
twin jet.
Tail number.
We have the tail number here. Registration details. Now, this is where things get a little weird. Turn on screen recognition. Because for whatever reason, FlightAware is bizarre at that point.
Cardinal Aviation, CEO Morgan.
So Cardinal Aviation
US Corporation
owns this aircraft.
Summary,
it's a 2010 Cessna
500.
It's a Cessna
525B,
fixed wing multi engine, two engines, eight seats. And we see the engine type. The aircraft, like I said, is 2010. So. And you're getting all that for free, okay? Now, you cannot do that with every aircraft. Let me give you an example. Any of these aircraft that start with the tail number of N, okay, you can do that with, generally. But you can't do that with, say, SKW. This is a CRJ-9. And it is 428 miles per hour, 25,000 feet.
SKW 3948.
And if I go here to more details, I can see, for example, that this is a SkyWest flight, Canadair Regional Jet CRJ-900 twin jet. But see, I no longer have the more details button. It is now track inbound plane. Okay, so you see that FlightAware gives us the altitude. It gives us the general location within 6 to 15 miles. It gives us the aircraft type. Usually you can see the year, make, and model, but not always. Okay. So here we have on Flight Radar 24 a map here with Katanning, Indiana, Johnstown, Hempfield Township. Now, if we want to see the aircraft that are in our nearby location, we have to go all the way down here the search button that says Flight Radar 24. We tap on that, and then we go here to
Nearby. Search results.
And we tap on that. Okay. Now this shows us our airports. And then we have here 1I-768, Houston to Philly, CL-35, and it has a tel number here for this particular aircraft, shows that it's 7 miles away. But see, we can't get the altitude, we can't get the speed of this aircraft. UA-1033, it's a United flight. New York to Santa Ana, Boeing 737, 10 miles away. But again, we cannot get the altitude. I'll tap on the aircraft here. And I just move my finger around on the screen. And it is not showing me our altitude. So there, sometimes when you turn on the screen recognition, you can make it show the altitude and speed, but that's not really easy to do. I'll try.
Aircraft, bullet N29000, aircraft, Boeing, play, aircraft.
So it's a Boeing
playback.
Aircraft.
Aircraft in 1333. Flight and aircraft in show on map. American and airline show on map.
And I have to tap on the show on map button. Okay, all this just get the altitude and speed.
SNA, Santa, UCA, share. Calibrated ALT, 36, SNA, Boeing, SNA, calibrated ALT, 36,000 feet.
So it's at 36,000 feet at 428 miles per hour. Okay.
Calibrated ALT, 36,000 feet.
And
ground Boeing,
you can see it's Boeing 737. It has a registration number here.
Tab, route,
then it has route and 3D view. So, I mean, there's generally, you know, these tools are out there for you to use. I highly recommend personally something like FlightAware over Flight Radar 24, but both work. Both work, and whatever one works best for you is whatever one works best for you, and whatever one does work best for you is the one you obviously want to go ahead and use. Now, when it comes to the communications side of the project, I personally use this setup here. I'll get it on camera. That right there, and you can see I have it in a case. This is the Rexon RHP530. This is a transceiver. In other words, it can both transmit and receive. And I have a huge frequency list that I personally compiled and put together. And the radio allows me to, whenever I'm out in the field, to listen to the aircraft communications. And then when I'm here in the house, I have another radio that I like to use. This is the Satellite 750 radio, and that allows me to listen to the aircraft communications. I also have over here my Amazon Echo Show. I have a dot downstairs, but the show allows me to listen to Pittsburgh Airport and other airports that I have programmed into it via an app that we have called Live ATC. Now, I've made these skills only for my private use, okay? I have not made them publicly available, and that is as per the terms of use of liveatc.net, which if you have, okay, if you have a phone or an iPad or something, you can get Live ATC in an app. and I'll go ahead and show you Live ATC. So Live ATC is a way that you can listen, say if you're at, you know, Detroit Airport or Pittsburgh, even Philly, whatever. Generally, your bigger airports are going to have Live ATC streams. So the last stream that I was listening to looks to be Philadelphia Tower East. And if I tap on play, it has this little in progress loading bar, which you can hopefully hear as I look to see if it plays and everything.
0 hours, 0 minutes, and 4 seconds.
So this has now been playing for 0 minutes and 4 seconds, and you can hear it right there. And that is Tower East for Philadelphia Airport, okay? So that is a huge, amazing, viable asset. I highly recommend it if you are into listening to those types of communications. Now, another tool that you can use is... I mean, I have so many apps in here that most spotters probably aren't even going to be using. For example, I have ATC Sim, White Cloud Blue Sky, Nav Monster, AirMate, and then my second page, I have Radar Box, and I have some other apps that'll probably go in here before it's all said and done. Such as PPG Flight for powered paragliders and pilots who are flying said aircraft. But I will show you another app here. We have Plane Finder. This is another popular app that many spotters will use. But again, the two that most people are going to be using is FlightAware and FlightRadar 24. I do not use this app that much. I prefer FlightAware. As you can hear, the
free premium is location inactive icon.
Put that back
location
on.
Active icon. Free focus icon. Weather
okay, short. I think I have to go search in here into the search box like Flight Radar. Yeah. Okay, so like Flight Radar 24, you go direct into the search box and you do it this way. So what we have here is
sort all selected nearby. Button selected. Back button selected.
Nearby. I don't know why it's not.
Sorted by. All.
Going.
Select. Back button. Back button. All aircraft. Recent. Colbert. N-300. N-6. N-373LF.
That's...
N. Quebec. Whiskey. Quebec. N. Colbert. Recent. All aircraft. Nearby aircraft.
Nearby.
Sorted
by
distance. Happy. Sorted. Live.
There we go. There we go. Now it's working. So we have our SkyWest flight. It has a tail number here. And this actually has the altitude. This has the speed, and it has the degrees, which goes back to the longitude and latitude of the aircraft, which is totally geeky, and I love that. So the one thing that I like about Plane Finder is you can actually watch as these change. Okay, and I can tap on that.
Root icon. Follow icon. 3D toggle button. Regional jamming. DL-3000-SKW-N-800-3. Delta connection. Washington. Detroit. Kyan. KDT. 30 minutes. 430 in 58. 30 minutes ago. 412 miles per hour. Boat in 58 down. 412 miles per hour. Boat at 29,000.
You can see it change.
In 414 miles per hour. Boat at 29,993 feet.
Now, you can do the same thing with all these other apps, though, that I showed, FlightAware and FlightRadar 24. It's just done differently. So, the question then, at the beginning of this episode, was, can a blind person be a plane spotter? And if so, how can a blind person be a plane spotter? I just showed you. I just showed you all the equipment that I personally use to spot aircraft. And, you know, you can see from my eyes that I'm totally blind. You can hear from the fact that I'm also using a screen reader that, again, I'm totally blind. Okay? And so, what are the benefits of being a plane spotter? The biggest benefit, one word, safety. Safety. Now, why do I say safety? Think about it. If there would have been spotters that were active during 9/11, 2001, if we would have had spotters that were active during 9/11, 2001, calling into their local FAA branch, letting them know what's going on, consider the fact that many of those aircraft that were out to cause trouble on that day. You know, we had United Flight 93 that was diverted by the citizens on board that aircraft. If others would have been alerted to what was going on, consider there may have been more like United 93 that would have been diverted, that would have crashed in a field, and that would have immensely saved lives. And or we may have had aircraft that would have hopefully, although I kind of doubt it with an event like that, but hopefully would have landed safely. The fact of the matter is, doing nothing is no way of doing anything. We've got to do something. Especially now with the advent of these unidentified flying objects that are flying around American and Canadian airspace in the form of balloons, of all things, which may have been nothing more than party balloons and amateur radio balloons. You know, if our military can't tell the difference between party balloons and amateur radio balloons and high-quality military balloons, there's a problem, but I digress. The point of the matter is, safety has got to be our number one priority. So when we're out in the field spotting, we are doing it for safety. And I believe that we need a core group of trained volunteers who are trained to spot inaccuracies, who are trained to spot odd behaviors from aircraft, who are trained to spot things that are not meant to be happening, but that unfortunately are happening. And then when those things are spotted, when those things do occur, that they are called in to either your local FAA branch or your local FAA safety team member. We are without excuse. We are without excuse. And you know, I oftentimes tell people that even when it comes to the church, that when it comes to the lack of study in the church, again, we are without excuse. So, how can a blind person help with all this? A blind person can hear when an aircraft is doing loopy things. A blind person can hear that. A sighted person might be able to see it, but a blind person can hear it. And in that way, the blind person can see what's going on too. You know, I remember a training exercise at Johnstown Airport, John Murth at KJST. It was either late last year or early this year when an aircraft flew over and its engine shut down. It turned back on half a second later. You see, if that aircraft would have been in distress. There would have been more of an indicator. But see, that, not necessarily, but see, that is why it is crucial to not only spot aircraft, but to monitor their activity on the radio to find out what they are doing, why they are doing what they're doing. And when they are done doing what they're doing, that they resume normal operations. You have to be listening to the communications as well. Rather, you're listening via live ATC, Broadcastify even has some airports. Or rather, you're listening via a scanner, such as a Uniden scanner. Those are real nice. Or rather, you're listening via a full-on aviation transceiver, such as my Rexonor HP530. Which again, real nice radio, okay? You can't just assume at that point that something weird's going on, so you call up your local FAA office or you call up your local FAA team, your FAA safety team member volunteer. You don't just assume that something's going on and you bring up all these alerts. You have to have the training, you have to have the equipment, and you have to have the reasons behind why these aircraft are doing what they're doing. You have to know more than just, oh, well, this aircraft just decided it's going to, you know, wave its wings in the sky. Or this aircraft decided it's going to land on our runway and power back up again and fly into the sky. You have to know more. You have to know the reasons why. So, can a blind person be a plane spotter? Absolutely. Is the equipment out there? Are things accessible for them to get into this field? Absolutely. Do I highly recommend it? Absolutely. But I think we have got to do more than just be the average, ordinary plane spotter. We've got to train. We've got to give the people the reasons as to why they want to be plane spotters, and they have to have the equipment so as they can monitor the communications of the aircraft as well, and the tower or the control center. These are huge, indispensable tools that must be used and must be used correctly. So I hope that this all helps somebody out there. And my name is Timothy. If you have any comments, questions, concerns, complaints, feel free to go ahead and send those to me via email. If you like the video format, let me know. Maybe we'll do more of these. And if you'd like to send me an email, my email address is timothyclarkmusic@me.com. Once again, that email address is timothyclarkmusic@me.com. And my website address is timothyclarkmusic.wordpress.com. Once again, that website address is timothyclarkmusic.wordpress.com. And my name is Timothy, and I want to thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Brother Timothy Clark Podcast.